Good morning. Welcome to Radioactivity. I'm Rob Lori. Well, coming up today, we'll hear from a woman who is widely thought to be thinking about running for the Democratic nomination for U.S. Senate next year. We've got two important statewide elections next year, a U.S. Senator race and the governor's race. So we'll be hearing from her shortly. And as usual, as we go through the program, we'll be giving an opportunity for you to call in and email us to give us your thoughts about the topics that we're discussing. First, one listener comment about last Friday's program. Last Friday, we were talking about the death and impact of Rush Limbaugh, the radio talk show host, with Jeff Cohen from Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting. Here's what one listener had to say following last Friday's program.
Hi, I'm calling about the gentleman, Mr. Cohen, who talked about Rush Limbaugh. I know we're never supposed to speak ill of the dead, but in this case, this gentleman never did anything positive to contribute to society. And then he was awarded the Medal of Freedom by our ex-president. Amazing. I worked in the 70s. I was one of the first women to be hired by the Gillette Company as a regional sales manager. And I took a lot of backlash from people that would see me on the streets or calling on accounts. It wasn't easy back then, and I thought it would be a lot easier now. It is for women, but I took a lot of name-calling, like women's libber, you're one of those women's libbers, and even from women would call me that when they'd see me walk in with my briefcase. And this man, Rush Limbaugh, contributed to all of that by calling ambitious women feminazis, which I found very, very offensive. That's my comment. Thank you.
Well, that was a listener comment that came in after last Friday's program. This is WMNF in Tampa, 88.5 FM. In just a second, we're going to hear Florida This Week from this past Friday night, which is a discussion about the issues that we face here in Florida and locally. And we're going to hear from four guests. And as we listen back to what the panel members are saying about the issues, please feel free to email us here in the studio. The address is dj@wmnf.org. And after Florida This Week, we'll open up the phone lines and take your phone calls, too. So stick around here on 88.5 FM. Here is Florida This Week. Coming up next, both of Florida's U.S. senators vote to acquit ex-President Trump of the insurrection charges. The fairness of the vaccine distribution system in Florida comes under fire. And Tallahassee takes steps to make mail-in voting harder. Our guests are Congresswoman Val Demings of Orlando, Brian Corley, Pasco County's election supervisor, Republican April Schiff, and Democratic State Representative Michelle Raynor Goolsbee, next on Florida This Week. Welcome back. Last weekend, both of Florida's U.S. Senators, Marco Rubio and Rick Scott, voted to acquit former President Trump on the charge of inciting insurrection. They were in the minority, but under the Constitution, it takes two-thirds of the U.S. Senate to convict. Rubio said he voted against conviction because impeachment exists only to remove someone who's currently in office. Scott called impeachment a waste of time and tax dollars. But the Democratic senators and seven Republicans disagreed. And this week, Governor DeSantis was under fire for arranging for thousands of the hard-to-get COVID-19 vaccines to be given at a pop-up site exclusively to people who live in the 34202 and 34211 zip codes in East Manatee and Lakewood Ranch. It turns out those zip codes have some of the lowest infection rates and some of the highest incomes in the county. When some Manatee County commissioners criticized the governor's decision, he shot back.
If Manatee County doesn't like us doing this, then we are totally fine with putting this in counties that want it. And we're totally happy to do that. So anyone that's saying that, let us know. If you want us to send to Sarasota next time, or Charlotte, or Pasco, or wherever, let us know. We're happy to do it. But I think most people, if we have an opportunity to bring vaccines and do it efficiently, I think that they're going to want it.
We'll have more in a moment. And this week in South Florida, controversial radio host Rush Limbaugh died at the age of 70 after announcing last year he had stage 4 lung cancer.
In his second impeachment trial that ended last week in the U.S. Senate, former President Donald Trump was acquitted of inciting a riot at the Capitol on January 6th. In his first impeachment trial last year, he was also acquitted of abuse of power and obstruction of Congress for allegedly pressuring a foreign government to interfere in the election. Representative Val Demings of Florida was one of the House managers that presented that first case to the U.S. Senate. She represents the 10th District in Orlando, and she joins us now. And Congresswoman Demings, welcome to Florida this week.
It's great to be with you.
What message does the vote to acquit send to the country?
Well, as you well know, I spent 27 years as a law enforcement officer, and I just think it's so important to say this as well. I could not tell you the political party of the overwhelming majority of the men and women that I worked with. We had a mission, and it was about working hard to accomplish the mission. Accountability is at the forefront of that. Everybody counts, but everybody is accountable up to and including the President of the United States. As you mentioned, last year I served as an impeachment manager. I was honored to do so. We know how the Senate, the end of that trial turned out, but there was no doubt. We presented a clear and convincing case where the evidence was overwhelming. It was the president's own voice, his own phone call that he was impeached for. We also know that he used the authority of his office to obstruct justice by preventing the majority of people who had direct knowledge about his wrongdoing from even coming before Congress and testifying. Usually innocent people don't obstruct witnesses who can help prove their innocence. We saw the trial this year. It was again about accountability. And we tried to make it clear last year that if we do not hold this president accountable, he's going to do it again. 1 year later, we find ourselves in the same position. I know that some of the senators, and unfortunately the two in Florida, have asked us to not believe our lying ears and our lying eyes. I was in the Capitol on January 6th. I was trapped with about 30 other members of Congress in the House gallery. I was there. We've all seen the footage of police officers fighting for their very lives. We know that one lost his life, Officer Brian Sicknick. We know that about 140 other officers suffered injury or great bodily harm trying to defend us, our staff, our democracy. We heard with our own ears the president and his enablers' words that helped to incite the insurrection, to incite the riot. And so it was about accountability. We know that the majority of members of the Senate voted to hold him accountable. It did not reach the necessary threshold, but it sends the wrong message. No one is above the law, and we need people in positions to send that message. And unfortunately, we did not send that message last week.
Congresswoman, I'm wondering about the psychological impact on the staff and on the people that work in the Capitol. What can you tell me about the effect of them seeing Confederate flags and Nazi flags being marched around the U.S. Capitol?
It had a devastating effect. At the police department, I served as the commander of the critical incident stress management team, dealing with officers and civilian staff who'd gone through traumatic situations. When you think about congressional staffers, many of them are relatively young. They've never seen anything like that. This was not the America that they were used to. You know, when you come to the U.S. Capitol, it is one of those places that it's a sacred place. It is the center of our democracy and really the beacon, I think, for other countries around the world. Our staffers are so honored to be a part of the people's work in upholding our democracy. But to see the rioters there chanting, "Hang Mike Pence," and I have no doubt that had they been able to apprehend the vice president, they would have done that. We heard their voices searching for Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House. I have no doubt they would have done that. They desecrated her office and other sacred places within the Capitol, as you said, carrying flags that were basically symbols of division and hate. It was very traumatic for
Congresswoman, I wish we had more time. We've got just about 40 seconds left, but a lot of people are bringing up your name as a possible statewide candidate for office. Do you look at maybe the U.S. Senate race next year or the governor's race next year and think about getting in?
Well, let me say this. I am absolutely honored to serve in the House of Representatives, but I'm also humbled by the number of people who are having that discussion. I will just leave you with this. Florida is the third largest state in the union. That should mean a lot. And I'm keeping the doors open. We will see what happens.
Congresswoman Val Demings, thank you for coming on Florida This Week. I hope you come back.
Thank you.
A new election bill being proposed in Tallahassee would limit vote-by-mail applications to one election cycle in Florida and require voters who signed up for mail ballots, for instance, in 2020, to reapply to get them in 2022.
I think some people are very nervous about change. Some people ask why, and I say, why not? Let's try it. We can always do it different next week or next month or next year. But why not try this? It may actually invigorate participation instead of it being so uninvolved.
This comes after a November election in which Florida stood out for its efficiency. Brian Corley is a Republican and the supervisor of elections in Pasco County, and he joins us now. Brian, welcome back to the program.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
First of all, Senator Baxley's proposal to have people sign up every year instead of letting the initial application ride for 2 years, what do you make of it?
I'm at a loss for words. Sometimes I think there are those in Tallahassee living in an alternate universe. Why would you take something that's worked very, very well and completely reboot it? It just makes no sense. It almost, you know, someone's actually said to me, it just looks like it's politics hijacking elections, elections administration. And I can't disagree with that, unfortunately.
Would there be additional cost to your office if you had to send out these notices every year?
A tremendous cost. Now, Senator Baxley did actually add an amendment onto the bill that would allow the request to go through the next general election. But the problem is there's a complete reboot. So anyone, like, for example, in Pasco, we have 125,000 voters, nearly a third of our entire voter rolls, that is scheduled to get the request through next November of 2022. They, along with every other Floridian with their request, it reboots if the law were to take effect. So July 1st, for example, every one of those would have to be notified and say, you know, do you want to? And those that re-up, and we hope everyone does, and then some that at least consider it, there's an administrative cost for us to process it. So it's not very fiscally responsible, and it's not being good stewards of taxpayer money. And it just makes no sense to me.
Late Friday, the governor announced some additional changes in the election law. He was standing with Blazing Goley, another Republican member of the Florida legislature. I know it's too early to comment about it, but basically I think people are wondering, is Florida's election system secure? Can you say to the public and to your people in Pasco County that there's very little fraud, there's not people voting illegally? Can you say that with confidence?
I can say with the utmost confidence that there is no evidence of massive or widespread fraud, but don't take my word for it. Take the former Attorney General Bill Barr. take the former Secretary of Homeland Security, Chad Wolf, the Director of the FBI, Chris Wray, even Senator McConnell, and the list goes on. Anyone that's, any election administrator that says there's not fraud is being disingenuous. There's every election we do find fraud, but it's always de minimis, and that's the key, not widespread. We always want to go after anyone that shouldn't be voting. And quite frankly, our agenda as elections administrators is to have access and integrity. So those that should be voting, we want them voting, and we want to stamp out any fraud. But to just say, from pontificate, there's fraud, is not being truthful to the viewers and to the voters.
If this initial bill were to pass, what impact would it have on turnout, do you think?
I would imagine it would have to have a negative impact. I mean, studies have shown that vote by mail or absentee voting does increase turnout, and it really speaks also to some misinformation. I had voters call me up, and they would say to me, Brian, I don't mind absentee voting, but vote by mail is no good. And I would remind them that in Florida, they're synonymous. It's been no excuse since 2002, and they were confusing what they were hearing from other states that were doing mass mailouts to every voter. I personally don't support that. I think it's a waste of taxpayer money. It's not so much a fraud issue, but the system we have, it works.
The statewide group of election supervisors in 67 counties, they have an organization. Have they suggested any changes to make Florida's voting process better?
We have our annual legislative package, but we've issued a statement in response to the governor and Representative Angolia. We've worked very closely with Representative Angolia. I know I have as well. Basically that, we've not seen the bill yet. We look forward to seeing it. We would just ask respectfully that the Secretary of State, the governor's office, and the legislature, consult us. We are the subject matter experts. We're the elected supervisors in each county, constitutional officer. We're in the trenches. So I would hope that they would have some consultation of those that actually administer elections.
Brian Corley, thanks a lot. Thanks for coming back.
Sure. Thank you.
The distribution of 3,000 COVID-19 vaccines in Manatee County has concerned members of the Black community that have not received the vaccinations. State Representative Michelle Rayner-Goolsbee represents District 70, which includes parts of Manatee, Pinellas, Hillsborough, and Sarasota counties. And she joins us now. And Representative, thanks for coming on Florida this week. Good to see you.
Good to see you. Thanks for having me.
The governor got into some hot water because at least according to the way it was worked out, these two zip codes, 34202 and 34211, got the vaccines. What do you think about that? Those are some of the wealthiest vaccines, and they have some of the those are some of the wealthiest areas of Manatee County, and they have some of the lowest rates of infection.
So one of the, I think I made my position really clear that we need to make sure that the vaccine distribution is equitable, and we need to make sure that our underserved communities are being able to access the vaccine. We know that our frontline workers and our essential workers are folks who are more so Black and brown people and who live in underserved communities, and we need to make sure that access is equal. And so one of the things that I did end of January, we hosted a vaccine drive within Manatee County in a minority area of Manatee County. And we didn't restrict who could come. We didn't restrict who could register. It was open to the community. And so my position has remained that the equitable distribution of the vaccines is needed, and it must happen.
Did you raise the issue with the governor this week?
I did raise the issue with the governor's office this week, and they have assured me that they are committed to making sure that the vaccine is distributed equitably. My office provided them with vaccine sites within the district, and we are working on securing pop-up locations within the next 2 weeks.
Some people have pointed out, some critics of the governor have pointed out that the places that have already gotten the vaccine, these special additional vaccines, are places like Sun City Center and the Villages and these wealthy zip codes in Manatee County, places that tended to vote for Governor DeSantis. Did he arrange special treatment for these people in these areas?
of course, their position is that they did not do that. And I would like to believe that they did not do that. But in the words of the great James Baldwin, you know, I can't hear what you say because I see what you do. And so my hope and my goal is that the office of the governor would hold fast to their commitment that they made to me in order to make sure that there are vaccine sites within my district, but also within all the underserved districts within the state of Florida.
Representative, the governor has chosen to honor the late talk show host Rush Limbaugh by putting Florida's flags at half mast. What do you make of that?
Once again, I can't hear what you say because I see what you do. It's unfortunate that the governor decided to do that because I don't believe that same deference and honor was given to Congressman John Lewis. And Congressman John Lewis fought for equality for everybody and equity for everybody, whether you agreed with him or not, whether if you were white or black, Republican or Democrat, Jew or Gentile. And I cannot say the same for Rush Limbaugh. Rush Limbaugh was incendiary. He was racist and he was a homophobe. And so it's disappointing that the governor would see fit to celebrate someone of with that lack of integrity and character, but not yet do the same with someone who I believe was a patriot and a great American such as John Lewis.
Well, Representative, thanks for coming on Florida this week. I hope you come back.
Thank you for having me.
Florida's Agriculture Commissioner and Democrat Nikki Fried released a video this week slamming Governor Ron DeSantis for his COVID-19 pandemic response.
This has been so much harder than it had to be, and we know why. Blind allegiance to an insurrectionist. So let me say this to all Floridians. You are loved. We feel your hurt. Florida can and will do better. As the Biden administration puts science first and we turn the corner on this pandemic, I promise I will continue to fight for you and hold the governor accountable.
That video has received mixed reactions across Florida. April Schiff is the Hillsborough Republican State Committeewoman and president and co-founder of Strategic Solutions of Florida. She's also a longtime panelist here on Florida This Week. April, nice to see you.
Good to see you. Thank you for having me today, Rob.
So why did Nikki Fried release that video, do you think?
I think Nikki's running for governor. So it's her first salvo, and we'll see how that carries out for her.
Talk about what her chances are. The Republican Governors Association issued a press release this week saying that that video shows that she's desperate to be coronated as the Democratic's candidate for governor.
She's in a good spot to do that. She's probably trying to make sure she pushes out any primary competition, which would give her a little more strength going into a general election. So that would be her goal, I should think.
Is the governor vulnerable for the way he's handled the COVID-19 vaccine distribution?
Absolutely not. Florida has done better than virtually any other state in the country as far as distribution. We've vaccinated more seniors, first responders than anybody else has, and he's on the way to continuing that across the state. And eventually, I hear not in the too distant future, we will have another age tier coming in, so he'll start vaccinating more people in a lower age bracket as well.
One of the things that Nikki Fried said in that video is that the governor showed blind allegiance to an insurrectionist. He's talking about former President Trump. What impact, what kind of role do you think the Trump impeachment trial is going to play next year in statewide races across Florida when we see people running for U.S. Senate, see people running for governor?
I think the impeachment trial is going to hurt the Democrats because it was a failure. There was no successes there, and I think it hurt the country as well. It continued to divide the country after a very divisive election, and so I don't think that's a very good selling point in an election to try and get people elected from the Democratic Party.
You don't think that there's a sizable number of people that are concerned that this group almost took over the U.S. Capitol and almost hung Mike Pence and Nancy Pelosi?
I think that, of course, it's a concern and it should never have happened. It was a bad thing to have happened. But I also think that there's been an extremely exaggerated amount of focus on it. It's been somewhat of a witch hunt, going through social media and photographs and hunting down people who were there and prosecuting them as if they can. So I think that as well is going to get old pretty quickly. But that should never have happened. That was a bad thing. And hopefully we'll never see that happen again.
Can the Democrats win a statewide election in an off year like next year? There's not going to be a presidential race on the ballot. And they had a tough time in 2020. They lost statewide when it came to the Trump-Biden race. Is Florida now a red state, do you think?
I think it is. And I think they're going to have extreme difficulty in statewide races. I mean, they also lost ground in the state house and the state legislature and in some congressional districts they thought they would pick up and they didn't. So I don't see that that's going to change going forward. The Republicans are gaining ground across the board. And as Florida continues with voter registration drives through the next couple of years, I don't think you're going to see any big Democratic victories in the state of Florida.
Because Republicans are doing better when it comes to registration drives than are the Democrats.
And that's a goal, and that's something that they're executing very strongly. They know they have to work hard to try and, you know, diminish the gap between the registration. But we've consistently voted Republican in the state for quite some time now on a statewide basis. So I don't see it changing next year.
Well, April Schiff, great to see you. And soon, we hope, you'll be back on the set. Thanks for coming on the program.
Thank you very much, Rob.
All right, so that was Florida This Week from this past Friday night on WEDU-TV, the PBS station in town. And my guest, April Schiff, there was one of the Republican guests on that show. Michelle Raynor Goolsbee is a state representative. She's a Democrat, and her district spans several counties. Brian Corley is the election supervisor in Pasco County. It's a nonpartisan position, but he is a Republican. And Val Demings, the congresswoman from Orlando, was the first guest on that program. So tell us what you thought of what the guests said. Send your email into dj@wmnf.org or call us at 813-239-9663. And Frank Knox is our phone producer today. And if you want to comment about anything you've heard here, we talked about the impeachment trial and what message the acquittal sends to America. Also, the efforts to limit vote by mail here in Florida, just one of several efforts to limit the ways and methods that people can vote. New proposals were just announced Friday by the governor. We're going to talk about that this week on Radioactivity on one of the programs. I think it's going to be Wednesday. We talked about the fairness of the vaccine distribution in Florida and what do you think? Our phone number, 813-239-9663. I'm going to read a few more stories that we could talk about. Several emails have already come in. I'll read those in just a moment. As we heard at the top of the hour, the U.S. Supreme Court today rejected a last-ditch attempt by former President Trump to shield his financial records. The court issued a brief unsigned order requiring Trump's accountants to turn over his tax and other records to prosecutors in New York. And I'm reading this from the New York Times website. The court's order was a decisive defeat for Trump, who had gone to extraordinary lengths to keep his tax returns and related documents secret. The case concerned a subpoena to Trump's accountants, Mazars USA, by the office of the Manhattan District Attorney, Cyrus Vance Jr., a Democrat. The firm has said it will comply with the final ruling of the courts, meaning that the grand jury should receive the Trump tax documents in short order. So that's breaking news from just a little over an hour ago. Again, our phone number, 813-239-9663. And Dominion Voting Systems has filed a defamation lawsuit against MyPillow CEO Mike Lindell, who claims the company rigged the election for Joe Biden by tampering with ballot machines. Dominion Voting Systems is seeking $1.3 billion in damages. Lindell, a staunch Trump supporter who claims the election was stolen for Biden, accused Dominion of rigging its voting machines across the country to count more ballots for Biden than for Trump. The company has been threatening to sue for weeks. This morning, lawyers filed papers in the District of Columbia, which claimed Lindell defamed the company by making the claims. And again, our phone number, 813-239-9663. Congressman Charlie Crist of St. Petersburg is called on the Justice Department to determine whether Florida's governor is using coronavirus vaccines to help out political allies and donors rather than seeking those most at risk to receive the first vaccine shots. I'm reading this from the Tampa Bay Reporter. Chris set out his concerns in a letter yesterday to Acting Attorney General Monty Wilkinson, calling on the Justice Department to investigate concerns that Republican Governor Ron DeSantis is establishing coronavirus vaccine distribution and administration sites to benefit political allies and donors over the needs of higher-risk communities and existing county wait lists. And we talked about that just now on Florida This Week. Again, our phone number, 813-239-9663. Our email address, dj@wmnf.org. And let's take some of these calls. Let's go to Ken, who's in Sebring. Hi, Ken. You're on MNF. What would you like to say?
Hi, Rob. I was very interested in Val Demings declaring that she was willing to look at or keep her options open for governor. I do believe that we need someone that can do things for Florida citizens. She has been very active in the law enforcement area, and we need someone to restore law and order to the state, and she would be a great person to do it. The other thing I would like to raise is Nikki Fried has blasted Ron DeSantis for his vaccine distribution, and I think it's great, but I would like to see Nikki Fried as the agricultural commissioner do something for and make her her position really felt in moving the vaccines in the farm worker community, because it's really been left out, and there's some farm worker organizations that have been pushing Governor DeSantis to make it happen. But Nikki Fried, it'd be a great campaign pledge that she wants to get 10,000 farm workers vaccinated and follow through on the pledge. So I would love to see that.
And do you think that farm workers, that Fried has left farm workers behind by not advocating more strongly?
I don't know that, but it would be a great way. And I know that, especially since she's trying to say that other people are not doing a great job, well, it would be a great addition to her position as agriculture commissioner to really make it happen for farm workers. And she could put that in her a feather in her cap.
Yeah. All right, Ken, thanks a lot.
Make it happen.
All right. Thank you, Ken. Thank you.
And thank you, Rob.
All right. Good to hear from you. David writes this: it's great that you got Val Demings on Florida This Week. I hope she might run for higher office at some point. Governor of Florida, writes David. A lot of people are talking about running for governor, including Charlie Crist. His name has popped up so many times. And then Jeff writes, I think Congress could have anticipated that the impeachment trial would not lead to a conviction. If they really wanted it, perhaps they could have used a different strategy. Jeff writes, I am surprised that they made this more of a priority than a stimulus package for Americans hurt by the pandemic, writes Jeff. You know, the stimulus package debate is going to go full throttle now that Congress is heading back to Washington. Let's go to Joe in Tarpon Springs. Hey, Joe, you're on MNF. What would you like to say?
Yeah, hey, Rob. Thank you. As far as the vaccines, I don't really think that Governor DeSantis is really using them in a way that would help Florida the most. I mean, it seems like he's using the vaccines as a political asset to sort of reward or punish groups as he sees fit. I think one of the overlooked groups right now are the teachers, because if he really wants to help the economy, he needs to get the teachers vaccinated so that they're confident and safe in their jobs. And then all the parents have an easier time working, because there's a lot of families struggling with their children at home, and they're trying to watch their kids, and they're trying to go to work, and there's two parents. They have some friend babysitting.
Yeah, and there are some places. There are some places where this happened. It happened in New York, where the teachers got access to vaccines, and Long Beach, California, teachers got access to vaccines. Why do you think our governor has not made teachers a priority?
Well, my personal opinion, I think there's a lot of Republicans that have a secret agenda. They don't like the public school system because it's not religious. I think that a lot of good Christians feel an obligation to evangelize, and they're upset that the prayer isn't taught in the public schools. So I think starting with Jeb Bush and some others, there's a concerted effort to crush, kill, and destroy the public schools so that people end up at private schools getting religious indoctrination. That's my personal opinion.
All right, Joe, thanks a lot. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right. Well, we've got an open line, and all the men, all the people waiting online so far are men. So if you're a woman, we would love to hear from you. Colin writes this: I acknowledge, understand, and respect the need for you, Rob, as a journalist, to be neutral and present all sides as they exist. But anyone else who's pretending that this move by the minority rule party to re-register for mail-in ballots every year is anything other than voter suppression is being disingenuous and un-American. So, Colin, thanks for that. And we are going to talk a lot here on WMNF on all the programs about the efforts to make it harder to vote here in Florida. There's more in the pipeline, and we hope you keep your dial tuned to 88.5 FM. Let's go to Fred in St. Petersburg. Fred, thank you for calling. What would you like to say?
Hello, Rob. I don't know where to start. You've got about 14 subjects going this morning. Nikki Fried, she's the only Democrat in the cabinet. So I don't know how she got there, but I'm glad she's up there. We got to have somebody on the other side speaking up for the people of Florida. And number two, your previous caller, I think his name was Joe, I agree with him that they're trying to kill the public schools here in Florida. And my way of thinking, that's a disaster. Number three, I am astonished that our existing governor wants to lower the flag of state of Florida in honor of Rush Limbaugh. Where in the world did he come up with that idea?
Yeah, and Michelle Rayner Goolsbee, the state representative, said the governor didn't do it when John Lewis passed away, and John Lewis had a much more positive impact on the country than has Rush Limbaugh. I drove by a courthouse on Saturday, and they had already lowered the flag. I assume it was lowered the flag for Rush Limbaugh.
I think that's ridiculous, Rob. I really do. That's all I had to say.
Okay, Fred, thanks a lot.
Thanks for your program, as always, Rob.
Thank you, Fred. Well, what do you think? Should the flags of the state of Florida be lowered to honor Rush Limbaugh? What do you think? Kevin writes this: April Schiff, your guest, said there was an exaggerated amount of focus on the insurrection, and it's a witch hunt. They hung witches back in the day, but I don't remember them trying to hang a vice president, writes Kevin. Yeah, I wonder about April's statement that there's an exaggerated amount of focus on the Capitol invasion, and that there's a witch hunt going on right now to find people who were there at the Capitol invasion doing damage to law enforcement and to the Capitol building itself and possibly to our democracy. Do you think that there's an exaggerated amount of focus on the Capitol invasion? Or was it an important moment in history that we should pay attention to? What do you think? 813-239-9663. Let's go to Steve in Tampa. Steve, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yeah, Rob, it's kind of weird that you would have brought up exactly what I wanted to talk about. I'm getting a little tired of hearing these Congress people and these very privileged people who, live a lot better than I do, tell me over and over again about how afraid they were for a couple of hours and how they were huddled and all together, and it's getting a little old. You know, it's like, I'm sorry, and I know I'm probably going to get yelled at for saying that, but I don't feel sorry for these very rich people who for a few hours had to experience reality.
And what if you're not rich? What if you're one of the people that was not rich and Mm-hmm. And they were shouting, and they wanted Mike Pence's head. They had a noose outside. They wanted Nancy Pelosi's head. She's very rich. But what if you're, you know, one of those people that just makes a congressional salary and no more?
I don't know. We don't hear from them. I'm talking about the people we're hearing from over and over again. That lady that you had on this hour.
Yeah, I don't think Val Demings is rich. She may have been a former police chief, but I we'll have to look. I'll have to look up her net worth. I don't think it comes close to Nancy Pelosi's. Steve, thanks a lot. Thanks for your thoughts. And let's go to Andy in Dunedin. Andy, you're on M&F. Thanks for calling.
Hey, good morning, Rob. Happy Monday. Yeah, I wanted to ask you about your last guest and what she said. She thought, it sounded like she thought it was a little over the top that they were reviewing all these security cameras and going out to sweep these people up as though their rights had been.
Yeah, she said there was an exaggerated amount of focus on the Capitol invasion.
Wow, she really got her marching orders and stuck to them, it sounds like. And on another point, as far as Ron DeSantis, if you look at all the places he's been taking these vaccines, these are all huge, big Republican voting retirement communities like the Villages,
yeah,
like Lakewood Ranch, and
Sun City Center. Yeah, 342-02, 342-11 zip codes.
Yeah, you don't have to look real close to see what his plan of action is there, so. Who knows? It's
okay.
Sad state of affairs. Thanks,
Andy,
Bob.
Thanks a lot. We've got an open line you'll be able to get through right away. If you call 813-239-9663, if you want to comment about anything you've heard here so far. David writes that Nikki Fried would be a great gubernatorial candidate, and your Republican guest must be living in an alternative reality. How can she call the search for the insurrectionists from January 6th a witch hunt, writes David. And then Richard writes this, I will not attend Russia's funeral, but I have sent a message saying I approve of it, writes Rich in Polk County. And Rich, you must have read Mark Twain. So thank you for that, Rich. Karen in Dunedin writes, I keep hearing you say you can vote by mail for 2 cycles, but I've been voting by mail for the last 9 years and never had to remind them to send me a ballot again, writes Karen in Dunedin. She would be in Pinellas County. Karen, I don't know the situation in Pinellas County, but I will look into it. Thank you, Karen. And then Ron writes, I'd vote for Nikki Fried right now. Ron's in West Happen. He says, also tomorrow, a vote will decide if more spring water will be allowed to be taken by Seven Springs Company from the Suwannee and Santa Fe Rivers. Call the Suwannee River Board and tell them to vote no, writes Ron in West Tampa. Let's go to Fran in Largo. Hi, Fran. You're on M&F.
Oh, thank you, Rob. In answer to the flags flying at half-staff that Ron DeSantis ordered for Florida for Rush Limbaugh, I think people should fly their flags upside down, the sign of distress. I think that would be a good answer to that. And him doing that, it just reduces the flag to a piece of cloth. Just like hanging the medal around his neck, the Medal of Freedom, it just cheapened that.
Doing that, does he show he's the governor of all of Florida, or does he show he's the governor of a small subset of Florida? Because Limbaugh is a very divisive person. He's called everybody names from feminists to African Americans to environmentalists. I mean, when the governor chooses to honor this guy, is he painting himself in the corner to say, okay, I'm only really representing part of Florida?
Oh, he sure is. He just wants to step into Donald Trump's shoes, fill his shoes, and he shows it by everything he does, like, the vaccines going to wealthier people, all the things he does, and he's like a little dictator, and it's just wrong for him to do that, and I would love to see Charlie Crist or someone else, a Democrat, especially Charlie Crist. I think as a next governor, I think we need somebody like that that cares about the people.
All right, Fran, thanks a lot. Thank you, Fran. All right, good to hear from you. And this is WMNF 88.5 FM. Let's go to Sharon in St. Petersburg. Hi, Sharon, you're on M&F.
Hey, Rob, good morning.
Good morning.
I have a couple of things I'd like to discuss, but I just want to let people know that I've just spent 33 minutes on the holding to speak with Ron DeSantis and had no response. But concerning Rush Limbaugh and flying the flags at half staff, I mean, what message is our governor sending to our people that we are going to honor this man who was misogynistic, anti-Semitic, I mean, just a cruel, cruel person. And it really concerns me that this is acceptable in our society now. Regarding absentee voting, I was born and raised a Democrat, and I don't think I'll never get that out of my brain, although I'm a little disappointed in our party. But what I thought that absentee voting was for rich people that could, you know, that went on vacation and needed that for. But however, I started doing poll work as a voter poll worker into the year 2000, and I realized that I couldn't work in my precinct all the time. So in order to vote, I had to vote absentee. And then I realized that, you know, there was a positive aspect to that I could spend time reading about the issues and checking different positions about the things that were on the ballot. And voting absentee gives you the opportunity to not make quick judgments.
And not just walk in and pick somebody because of their last name or that you like
or
the sound of their name. Are you familiar with them? Yeah.
Right.
Well, that's a really good point. I think voting by mail has encouraged more people to take part in the process and take it more seriously.
Well, I do too, and I hope it continues. And I you know, it just occurs to me. There's also you know, the military has voted by absentee ballot for a long time in our country.
Yeah, and
you know, and that's appealing to certain people in our country. And as far as the vaccine distribution, I mean, it was very. I'm sorry, you know, I don't like to use labels or cast aspersions too far, but the vaccine, you know, Ron DeSantis's response to people talking about, you know, that this maybe wasn't fair, it was very Trump-esque.
Yeah, he seems to be uptight every time
you.
A reporter
we'll
asks him a question.
From you if you're not happy with that.
Yeah.
And
Sharon?
I did notice that in one of the news feeds, he said that they were, the facilities at Lakewood Ranch were able to provide better care, and that's why they got this privilege over other.
Yeah, but why limit it to just one or two zip codes? Why not just say everybody in Manatee County can come to Lakewood Ranch if they want? Sharon, thanks a lot. Thank you for that.
Okay, thank you too, Ron.
All right, great to hear from you. And we got a lot of emails. Charles writes, Rush Limbaugh was a traitor, pure and simple. I do not believe that he deserved death, but he definitely earned it with his hatred, dishonesty, and of course, his pharmaceutical addiction and the tobacco smoking, writes Charles. And then Joseph writes this, lowering the flag. The flag code says a governor does not have the authority to lower the flag for anyone he chooses, writes Joseph, who's looked up the code. And traveling nurse here says absolutely no flag should be lowered for Rush Limbaugh. And then Robin, who's in North Dakota, writes, what about the police? What about the janitorial staff? How about the concession folks or the young staffers? So Robin is responding to the caller who said that the rich were the ones who felt the pain of the Capitol invasion. Robin rightly pointing out that there were a lot of people who were affected by the Capitol invasion who were not rich. Robin, thank you for that. And let's go to Gino in Tampa. Gino, thanks for calling. What would you like to say?
Yes, I want to know what happened to the guy who they deported back to Germany. I heard when he arrived back to Germany that he was detained. And I wonder what happened to William Calhoun, the FBI guy who was arrested for an insurrection. And I think what MNF should do, they should do a mashup of Rush Limbaugh, the things he said, like from that time when the black lady called in, and he told her to don't call into the show, take the bone out of her nose. And those are the things I would like to.
Okay. Gino, thanks a lot. Yeah, we mentioned the bone in the nose comment that Limbaugh made to a black journalist. Outrageous, right? Let's go to Rebecca in Oldsmar. Rebecca, thanks for calling. You're on M&F.
Oh, hi. I agree. Limbaugh should not be honored in any way. Enough said about him. And as to the voting, I'm 73. I had knee replacement right about the time of voting, plus the COVID and all. I dropped mine in a ballot box at the library. I could not have stood in line and voted in person. And I like the idea, like the lady said, I can look up the people because I get a ballot ahead of time. The only trouble is I have tried to find information on some of the candidates for things that I don't look at very often, school board people and other judges and such. And I can't get much information on those people. I'd like to have some place without having to wander all over the internet trying to find out what these people are like and what do they believe in.
Yeah, and a good place to start would be the newspaper. The Tampa Bay Times usually has an election special, and it features all the candidates who are running and what they stand for. So that's where I would start. But there's a lot. Yeah,
I don't get a newspaper anymore, and I have tried to go to newspaper websites.
Yeah,
but I still have trouble getting information.
Well,
you
do have limited free access to the Times, so the Times is online, and that's one place to start. But it's a I know it's an important question. Rebecca, thank you.
Thank you.
And I don't have an easy answer for it. I'm not going to even pretend. But that's where I would start. Start with your local newspaper. Let's go to Susan in Lutz. Hi, Susan. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Hi. I would like to respond to the woman who thought that the investigation into the breach of the Capitol was a witch hunt and is taking up too much time. I'd like her and others who feel like her to close their eyes and picture the Capitol insurrection and picture, instead of all those people who were there, picture black people and think how outraged you'd be then, because, you know, people were pretty outraged, you know, when a few rioters from Black Lives Movement, you know, a few protesters turned into rioters and looters. They were pretty outraged about, you know, some businesses being looted, but it would have been a totally different response if it had not been a crowd of white people.
I think that's true. White people can't imagine, you know, if there were black people who would overrun the Capitol, the white folks that are critical of the investigations now, they would be the first ones in line to be lining up watching Fox News and being horrified.
And I think that there would have been a lot of black people killed that day.
Yeah, I think that's true, Susan. I think you're right. All right, Susan, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
All right. We played a soundbite from that about that topic a few weeks ago from a rap artist named Boosie who made that exact point. Elizabeth writes this regarding the insurrection. Remember Benghazi? Remember that investigation and the Hillary emails? There's no doubt what the Republicans would be doing today. Hearings, not commissions. What do people remember about the 9/11 commission? They still blame Iraq. What do they remember about the Mueller investigation? The GOP will just come out and refute. Call your congressman. We need hearings into the insurrection, not commissions. And we need witnesses, writes Elizabeth. Thank you, Elizabeth, for that. Suzanne writes, I agree with Karen. I've been voting by mail for years, and I haven't been asked to re-up. And I'm in Hillsborough County, writes Suzanne. Suzanne, thank you for that. And let's go to whoever's been holding the longest. It looks like it's Joshua in Bradenton. Hey, Joshua, you're on M&F.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. It's just unbelievable that this lady thing that investigating those that had Confederate flags in our sacred capital, and Nazi flag, and with the news there, that's over the top. By the way, I want to tell Republicans, if you guys think that you own Florida, you are sorely mistaken. And hopefully, the Democrats will take a little time and recruit younger people, you know, to be able to do their work, you know, behind the scenes. Because the problem we have is that, you know, they keep recycling, unfortunately, that I'm using that word, recycling. You know, some of the people who are retiring, you have to find younger people. There's a lot of young blood There's a lot of young people with voice and have something to say. And hopefully, if they can jump on it early, I bet you this state is not a red state and would never be a red state. That's just my point.
All right, Joshua, thank you. Thank you. Well, if you want to comment about today's program, call us up on our comment line, 813-238-8001, and record your comment on extension 115. And I'll play your comments back tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock. Stay tuned for Sean Canan. He's coming up next with a look at some of the very controversial issues being discussed and considered by the state legislature. And thanks to Frank Knox, our phone producer today. I'm Rob Lori. This is WMNF in Tampa. Here's the news.